Maybe you've noticed by now, but we've tried to structure this whole service around Jesus Christ. This whole service around the gift and the price that was paid for our salvation, which is had in Jesus Christ. This past week at the community groups, we all studied Isaiah chapter 53. You hear that used over and over at Christmas time. It's the prophecies about Jesus. It's on Christmas cards from people who don't even know Jesus. And they put in there Isaiah 53 quotes. We know it. We hear it again around Easter time. And now it's time for me to be very transparent. I'm going to admit to you that I'm probably one of the slowest people in this room. Is that an amen? Okay,
good. What?
Okay, good. So why not? I'll tell you why. A couple of weeks ago, when I saw this scripture coming up for Isaiah 53, I thought to myself, I know all about Isaiah 53. What's the big deal? I got it. This is a light study week for me. And for whatever reason, I was compelled in my study to dive into Isaiah 53 in the Hebrew. And after a couple of days of doing that, I was absolutely embarrassed that I thought I would have to come in front of you here today and let you know that I have been stupid. And I have played this way too lightly. I have sold it way too short. And shame on me. So what I did, or thought to do, which I'm going to do right now, is just briefly share with you what I would consider some of the words that overwhelmed me. In our community group, what we did is we made lists of the power words in here. And then went to talking about it. And that was our entire lesson time. As in our group, we believe that everybody teaches everybody else. And I listened to other folks talk about what word or words really impressed them or moved them. I've got my own list. And today I get to share my list with you of words in the Hebrew that impressed me and knocked me over and realized that I've treated this scripture way too lightly. All the hundreds and thousands of times I've led communion services and read through the communion passages, wherever they're found, the Gospel or 1 Corinthians, and you know what? Have not thought intently about what Jesus Christ went through and endured for me. So, you folks were talking with each other. We're not going to throw anybody under the bus here, but you were having a conversation with each other. Did something stand out as you were talking to each other as to the thing you think about when we have communion? What's the thing that comes to your mind as you're holding on to the bread or the wafer or holding on to the cup? What are you thinking about that you might want to share with us right now? Or the best thing is, share what somebody told you and then you're not responsible for it. Okay, that's good. Just being funny. Okay, anybody want to share? Put your hand up. I'll point at you. You can yell it out to me. Oh, we're not going to throw neighbors under the bus right now? Oh, I've got all day, I'll wait.
You got a customer over there.
Yes, Rose.
My sin.
Your sin. You notice how you said my sin? You made it personal, didn't you? That's really pretty cool. My sin. Okay. Good word. Okay, let's keep going. Did you hear something else? What do you think, Stephen?
His whole life was sacrificed. Not just that a lot of people think at the end, that everything about him he had sacrificed from the day he was born to the day he died. It was about a life of sacrifice.
Did you catch that? It was about a life of sacrifice. Not just an end-of-life event, the crucifixion, the death, but all through his life. In fact, a lot of what I'm going to share with you has to do with the fact that it seems like the way Isaiah writes this is the fact that Jesus, who comes from eternity, who is God, who is now, I don't even know how to use the word, squeezed, forced into a mortal body, a body like ours, knowing full well what's going to take place, and apparently him having to live that existence, who used to be worshipped by everybody, now has to live that existence. It went on through his entire life, culminating in the crucifixion. I said to Jerry and I say things to each other which are just wrong. But so I did one today. I said, yeah, just imagine for just a couple of minutes that Jesus comes and he's with us and we're the apostles. And he would look at us and say, okay, guys, this is the last warning. I have had enough out of you. And the truth of the matter is, Jesus was stuck with the apostles, with human beings around him, which were like me and you. Wow. Anybody else hear something as you share? Florence.
Okay,
the pain he endured of separation from God the Father. I don't know how to describe that. I don't understand that. If you've ever seen Mel Gibson's rendition of the crucifixion, it's a shocking thing to see. But all I can do is focus on the physical. Because we don't understand the spiritual torment and what that meant to take on Rose's sin, my sin, your sin, and to experience separation from God. Whew. Can't explain it any further than that. Let's keep going. Jerry.
Well, we were talking about Jesus, you know, going through the torture of no longer being in his spiritual body, but having squeezed into a human body. But the knowledge that the Bible tells us that we were chosen before the beginning of time. He knew before the beginning of time that this was coming, and he knew what it was going to be like. And he not only chose to go forward with it, he never changed his mind. He never wavered, and he knew that was coming, and he lived with that for us, for me.
Jesus fully knowing what he had to endure in this human existence. Boy, that old dude.
Yeah, right.
Knowing what he had to endure, but still came and did it anyway as an act of love for you and I. Okay, just another one. Tyler, got your hand up or are you scratching your head? Well, you got that much hair. I'm not sure if it's scratching or what. I just can't relate. Okay. I mean, I want to join you, but there's just nothing.
Good.
Okay, good. Got another one? Somebody share some with you? Yes, Martin.
My boys went to skate church this morning over at the skate park in Safety Harbor, and their theme was on the miracle of the water being turned to wine. That Jesus did his first miracle, and I hadn't realized till today the connection to communion. But you know, as we in our house church, we've been doing, you know, dinner church, and communion's a big part of that. And I realized, talking about it today with boys, that, you know, when we take communion, we think about Passover looking back, and we look forward to the wedding feast, you know, and the eternal feast in heaven. And so it seemed appropriate, you know, the question was, why would Jesus waste the first miracle on a wedding party? But it seems to be a theme of his, that he's looking back at Passover and looking forward to the feast. And
very good.
So he's made that connection.
Great observation of Jesus looking back and Jesus looking forward and actually connecting the two. Let me give you some of these words so they're stuck in your head. Can I do this? Because they're still stuck in mine and they're not going to leave. Here they are. The first one I saw was in verse 4, and it was the word you have smitten. In the Hebrew, it means to be shocked totally, to be struck, to be beaten, to be flogged. I'm going to go through them rather quick here. Verse 10, the word grief is used. In the Hebrew, it means deep sorrow, anguish of soul and heart, misery, agony, deep sadness, desolation, gloom, pain, hurt, ache, a wrench in the inner self. I'm going to go through them quick, but I just want a couple to stick with you because they're unbelievable. Verse 7, the word oppressed is used. It means to be severely persecuted or wronged. Also in verse 7, we have the word afflicted. It means to be tortured. It means to be infected, contaminated, stricken. Great suffering. Verse 5 talks about punishment, chastisement, to severely penalize for a crime or a wrong that's committed. Basically, to receive the judgment of the judge upon yourself. Okay. Verse 11, we have the word anguish. Anguish is a word of soul. It's agony, torment, severe ordeal, suffering of the soul and the inner person. You know what that's like? Feeling something that intently in your heart. And then there's one word in here I want you to get if you forget all the others. This one is stuck in my mind. I will not get it out. And here it is. In verse 5 and in verse 10, the word is used, crushed. He was crushed, which means to be ground down, to be pounded. It means to be mashed, to be minced, to be squeezed. And here's the thing I get from Isaiah 53 that I wrestle with. God on high was pleased to crush his son, Jesus Christ, for me. Look at it. It's said in other places, but it's said really graphically here. God was pleased to do this to Jesus Christ. It satisfied the righteousness of God. by punishing his son like this throughout his life, and then it culminates in the crucifixion event. Jesus was in torment his whole life, and then it leads up to the most horrible event you can imagine. And you and I think it's on the cross, bleeding and in pain, and have you ever seen it? Pushing up himself so he could breathe, only to have to go back down because his muscles were weary, and then pushing up to breathe again, and the hours this went on. And we think that's horrible, and that's the torment of Jesus. No! It's just part of it. I still believe the bigger part is when the sin of us, and they used Rose's words, the sin of Rose, and Mike, and Florence, and Beth, and everybody that's here, when my sin was placed upon him, he who knew no sin became sin for me. And then the crushing went on as he paid the ultimate crushing from God, and he is tormented and dies. God of the universe. Wow. You know, when you take communion, it's time to remember that kind of stuff. Paul records it. Listen, and I'm not making light of Paul's words, but listen now, if I infuse Isaiah 53 into this, Paul says, I received this from the Lord. I'm going to deliver it to you just as I got it. That the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And we listen to this 1,000 times and it goes by, and we shouldn't let it go by. This is the body of Jesus Christ being tormented and busted up for me, beaten up for me, crushed by his Father for me. And in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And the agreement's now based in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And I hear that over and over again. I think, oh yeah, his blood spilled, I'm sure, and that really helped him die, this and that. And whatever. The blood was the payment to God for our sin, his very lifeblood. That's at the bottom of this. It's important for us to have a handle on the death of Jesus Christ as it's portrayed in Scripture. You know why? Because we leave here, and we leave here to go live Jesus Christ out there. You met missionaries today. No offense to them. They've got a command from God to do what they're doing. It's the same one you've got on you and I've got on me. To go out there and live for Jesus Christ where he strategically placed you. And what do I bring out there? The life of Jesus Christ. Always remembering what he paid for me. So here's what we're going to do right now. Part of coming to the gathering is to have share time, prayer time, worship time. Thank you, folks. Look at the word a little bit more intently. Capping off what we studied for the week in our home groups. But then today's scripture warrants that we, just demands, that we have communion together. No way around it.
Amen.
And you've all got in front of you the element. We do all different kinds of communion styles and whatever. Kyla's going to pray for us, which, by the way, thanks for being here today. I watched the Reel That Thing In. I thought, wow, that is dedication to an instrument I don't think I've got. Which is why most people should play the ukulele. But the point of the matter is she's going to play for us. And she's going to play 3 or 4 minutes, whatever, it doesn't matter. What I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to sit over there. You know the communion service. I just read it to you. You heard Isaiah 53, what Jesus went through for you. Now I'm going to ask you to meditate. I'm going to ask you to ponder this over and over and think about the death of Jesus Christ for you. And when you're ready, you eat the wafer in memory of Jesus Christ, following what he said as often as you remember me. And then when you're ready, you drink the cup, remembering his blood. Because 1 Corinthians does say this, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. It's important to remember the death of Jesus Christ. This is what we take to the people out there that don't know him. So take this time, let this recalibrate. If you've got sin in your life, something's not where it should be, now's the time to make it right. Scripture says, let a man examine himself. You do that. If the Holy Spirit's pointing out something right now, you definitely deal with it and confess it. Ask for strength to turn and repent from it. But I'm asking you right now, in the quietness of the room, with just the heart playing, which is amazing, I'm going to ask you when you're ready to personally, before the Lord Jesus himself, taste that bread, eat that bread, and then drink that cup in memory of him. Let's do that together as a body when you're ready.